There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 108 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here for this hour. Live local talk, phone number, text line. We're getting some text in a second. Love to hear from you on the phone as well. 343-0106. 343-0106. That puts you through on either the text line or the phone line. And we go back to this because I said it as we went into the break, and I've gotten some people on the text line that are challenging, but I said that's good. That's what we like here. So let's go through it. And what I'm working off of here is this move yesterday, the announcement yesterday, as President Trump talking about, along with other people in the government, that the Trump administration, along with, I guess, FDA, is looking for a ban on flavored e-cigarette products. President saying, we can't allow people to get sick, and we can't have our youth be so affected. Federal government's working to finalize plans to remove flavored e-cigarettes from the market. Okay, so this is the e-cigarettes would still, the vaping would still be there, just not certain flavors. The only flavor that would be available is tobacco. What if somebody just wanted, like, no flavor? I don't, once again, this is what, when you start splitting hairs is when I start paying attention. It's not like, why this and not that? Now, let me read through some of the things that came in here on the text line. And if y'all want to hop on the phone line too, that's cool. All right. So this, all right. First of all here. Okay. Is people still chiming in on what the adult flavors should be that you replace? You replace the tutti frutti stuff that we're removing here. All right. And I asked this question. I mean, is this not true with alcoholic drinks, right? That the kids aren't supposed to be drinking alcohol either, but there are plenty of drinks out there that are fruity tasting, right? Not even mixed drinks, like stuff that comes, and I'm sorry that I can't name all of them because it's not a beer. Although, listen, in the beer world, yeah, hey, how about that? In the beer world, in the craft beer world, they make beers that taste all like a Starburst or something. I mean, they're people are talking about, oh yeah, all the infused vodkas, the birthday. Somebody said, I think there's a bottle of that in our house. We were given birthday cake flavored. I think it's vodka. It's got dust on it in our house, but. Yeah, they're talking about getting a lot of texts here. The people that have different, there are a bunch of different alcohols out there that have flavors other than just a regular alcohol flavor, right? Something that might be fruity. Bob says Mike's Hard Lemonade. Yeah. My buddy Jace says my 9-year-old was not impressed with my Fruit Loops flavored Three Olives brand vodka. Flavoring seems like a weak virtue signaling excuse. I think so too, Jace. I think this is so they don't have to get off the fence on it. Jim says, but Sean, I like bubblegum flavor. I don't chew it anymore because I may or may not have a crown or two on my teeth. But come on, really, if they're going to vape, they're going to vape. That's kind of how I feel about it. But then, here we go. John says, alcohol is a product that if used as directed will not kill you. Is there a prescription for? I gotta go check my alcohol bottles, but see if there's a prescription. Use is directed. I mean, one person's moderation is somebody else's New Year's Eve. I mean, that's by the individual. This texture says, are they going to make McDonald's get rid of cheeseburgers and serve only vegetables, combat obesity crisis? Same thought process if you ask me. Let's see here. And then this unnamed texture, but this is interesting. So I did a little looking around here. This texture said, states have been regulating industries based on the characteristics of a product forever. Okay, that's the general one. And I can say there's some degree of that. Doesn't mean I have to agree with it. But somebody else said, and I can't find that text right now. There are a whole bunch coming in here. Somebody had said that they had banned flavored cigarettes, right? Something as not a smoker. I was kind of unaware of this. So I looked at this, and it looks like in 2009, so as the texture says, 2009, they passed a law to ban flavored cigarettes, or I don't know if it's just the scent or the flavor. But then I started thinking, well, wait a second. But aren't there in the wall of things you see in the convenience store that are for sale that you don't ever buy? You know, all the stuff there at the front hanging from the stuff. There's cigars, or what are the little ones called? Cigarillos. Cigars and cigarillos that are, they're all kind of flavors, right? So there's like cotton candy, orange explosion, purple grape, whatever, all that stuff's up there. I've seen it before, unless it's back in my memory and they've gotten rid of it. So there are flavored tobacco products out there. You don't sell them to kids. That's what I'm getting at with it. This is not in defense of vaping or any of this. It's in defense of too much government. If this is so bad that it needs to be illegal and banned, then you ban the whole thing. If not, getting in there and going, oh, this is a, hey, we're gonna make sure that we keep people away from it because the actual flavoring in it, we're gonna keep it. We're gonna keep you from getting that. As long as you don't have this flavor, as long as it's not cotton candy unicorn explosion, then the kids won't get to it. Oh, wow, look at this. Whoever this texture is, really? What doctor is that? I was asking if there's a prescription for alcohol. This texture says a doctor put my aunt on a one beer a day only diet. So that's or I guess medicine regimen.
Wow, I wish doctor would prescribe me that.
It was in a can that was this big.
I can't think of maybe one thing that might be a corollary to this banning the flavored, I guess, solutions that are used in the e-cigarettes. And remember 4 Loko? Of course, everyone knows of 4 Loko, but remember when college kids, and it was right around actually when I went to college, so go figure. But
yeah, it's your fault.
So many college kids were reportedly drinking 4 Loko. It was the new hot thing out there
so
on the street.
So 4 Loko was like caffeine and alcohol, right?
That's right. It had, I think, some had up to like 14%.
That's like what killed Elvis up and down at the same time.
Okay. Right. It was like a speedball.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jerry Garcia, too.
It took off like, you know, these White Claw drinks that people are going crazy over now.
Here's the new thing, the White Claw, right?
And the reason White Claw is popular is because, you know, America now is going through a fitness phase.
Mm-hmm. Everyone, but we want to be drunk.
But, yes.
I want to shed the pounds. At the same time, I want to buzz while I'm doing it.
Right.
So, and as an American, I should have the right to have a buzz while I lose weight.
Exactly. And so everyone's fired up about this White Claw to the point where they're having, like, nationwide shortages, just like Popeyes with their chicken sandwich. We're a nation who these fads take a hold, mm-hmm. and then everyone has to figure out what it's all about. Well, the same thing happened going on a decade ago with this 4 Loko. It was like the Red Bull mixed with the vodka. Mm-hmm. That's, and college kids especially went crazy over this, and college kids were drinking like college kids have drank for eternity, except they now had this newfangled gimmick that they could drink out of, and it was reportedly causing blackouts, and a lot of college kids, I'm sure, were drunk driving, and all this bad stuff was happening, but now everyone had the new fad to kind of point their finger at and say, you, 4 Loko, you're the reason.
Good point.
So this is happening.
This has been going on forever, but now that there's something popular, then you can say, well, this is the reason.
Yeah, because
it's not human nature to want to have some kind of altered state.
It's like mine and yours, one of our old-time favorite websites, the Spurious Correlations.
Yes.
Like, okay, this new thing is popular. a bunch of people are reportedly in the hospital, it must be because of this, even though college kids have been turning up fifths of vodka since, you know,
right,
forever. But the same thing happened with Four Loko that we're seeing happen right now with these flavored, you know, flavored vape cartridges.
Yes.
And that's the state attorneys general started looking into this, and then one by one, states started banning Four Loko until it came to the point where Four Loko, you know, pulled their own product out and said, we're just going to have to rework this and find a way that we can sell this in states and, you know, go through the whole PR thing, which we're seeing Juul kind of got ahead of here over the last couple months. They started putting the word out that they were, you know, putting money up to combat kids smoking their Juul vapes.
Yeah, you and I knew this was coming months ago because we've heard all these Juul ads. It weren't even really ads. They were kind of apology ads.
Yeah, almost.
We knew something was coming.
But that's the closest thing I can think to this with the president and with, you know, all these big names coming out and saying, the problem is the flavored nicotine cartridges, that's what the real problem is, even though the stories that are coming out, really, it doesn't match what they say they're going to ban. The Four Loko thing was the first thing that I thought of.
No, make a good point. Oh, by the way, too, I see all the text here, and I may or may not have some I don't have familiarity with smoke cigarettes or cigar. People are pointing out that smokeless tobacco, which I may or may not have consumed in my life, comes in all kind of flavors.
Yes.
You got that right. And somebody's saying, you know, look at all the flavors. Yeah, I think wintergreen, but it's
peach.
What is spearmint, cinnamon,
apple,
you know, Four Loko flavor. I mean, it's whatever. And those are out there. So that's what I'm getting at. It's not, this is not saying anything to the effect of, I'm not telling you this is good. I want no consumption of this. I'm saying if a business, though, is legally allowed to have this, going through, this is just, like you said, it's whatever this is the trend right now. This is what's hot, what's trended right now, is to get after the individual flavors and not ask a question about nicotine.
Yeah.
No, it's not about the nicotine. It's about the green apple flavor.
And you made such a good point earlier that kids want to be grown. And whatever they see grown-ups doing that they're not allowed to do, do you think flavor really is the barrier there?
Right.
It's not.
Did kids only adopt smoking because they could get some kind of watermelon cherry Starburst cigarette? No, they did it because some other kid did it, and they had peer pressure, and they made a bad choice, and they got addicted to a substance that is not good for them.
Yeah.
Could be deadly. But it's not because there's a flavor. But this is, it seems like the opinion all turns one way. Everybody jumps on the bandwagon. And in today's world, too, if I take this opinion over to Twitter like I will later, people won't look at any nuance. They'll immediately say, oh, he wants everybody to vape.
Yeah.
No, I'm not even asking that.
Your team Juul in the back pockets of our youth.
Right. Oh, yes, I'm getting paid off.
That's right.
Which, by the way, if you're looking to pay me off, 900 Western America Circle, Suite 106, Mobile, Alabama, 36609.
Yeah, make the check out to Dalton Orr.
No, make it to cash. A little bit better. All right, coming right back.
Chuckin', got my chips cashed in. Keep chuckin', like the doo-dop man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep chuckin' on.
This information update brought to you by your CBD store of West Mobile on Hillcrest. If you're looking for the highest quality CBD products in the industry, visit your CBD store of West Mobile at Hillcrest and Greelot for a full line of products for you and your pets. Your CBD store of West Mobile at Hillcrest and Greelot.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Brian saying the Camel mascot for Camel cigarettes was banned years ago for the same reason. Now, remember you could see a man, if you look closely in the fur of the Camel, you could see I better not get into that. All right, now 125 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. You know what? All that conversation, Dalton, about the Four Loko and everything, I found something that I think is something I want to pass along. Now, this is a argument. This is like a science class. We've got this kid who shotguns a beer in school, professor's in trouble and all that, but maybe it's a chance to teach something here. This is an argument that is, or not even an argument, it's a discussion that I think I'm probably not the only person that's been involved in this discussion when people have hot beverages. It doesn't have to be an alcoholic beverage, but you have a hot beverage. You have a can of Coke, right? You have a whatever, a bottle of water. Nah, but let's say any kind of like beverage other than water. And you're trying to get that can of whatever it is cold. People say, oh, okay, I tell you what you need to do. You need to spin it, right? You need to put it in ice and spin it. Or you need to put, a solution of ice and water and salt together. You get these arguments, right? What's the fastest way to get the drink as cold as you need it to be in the quickest way? Well, somebody, the scientists, the lab coat guys have finally done something here. There's a guy in Poland who's getting his master's in particle physics. Fairly smart dude, and he built an online calculator that tells you exactly how long it'll take you to chill your booze. So this will be, you know, part of the discussion of how to get it cold, but it is a formula. So if you say, hey, we've got some beers here and they will be cold in this period of time, it's called the chilled drink calculator, and it's based on Newton's law of cooling. I know not one of Newton's more known about laws, but the law of cooling. And here's what you do, okay? And then I'm going to give you a link here. The first thing you do for this is the type of booze you're chilling, so whether it's beer, wine, or liquor. Second, the type of container it's in, whether it's in a can or a glass bottle. So the second piece of information you need, where you've been storing it, if it's at room temperature or sitting outside on a hot day, how you're chilling it in the fridge, freezer, or ice water is the next component they need. And the last one here, how cold do you want to get it? It then lists optimal temperatures for different drinks. So once you go into this calculator and enter that information, it spits out a number. Like if you put in a warm can of beer in the fridge, which is the number you want to know. Warm can of beer goes in the regular refrigerator. It takes 40 minutes to hit an ideal temperature of 43 degrees. I don't believe that. 40, it seems fast to me. 40 minutes hits 43 degrees. Bottle of champagne, 2 hours and 24 minutes to hit 48 degrees. So you go over here, and I'll put the link on the Twitter feed here when we go to the news break. But it says, there you go. It's what do you want to cool? Dalton, it says water. How about this? So if you use water and a small plastic bottle, 16.9-ounce bottle of water, that's a normal-sized bottle of water, on a hot summer day, so they don't know hot in Poland. They say 86 degrees Fahrenheit. It's a hot summer day. We call that November around here. Where do you put the drink? In the freezer. And desired temperature of 43 degrees Fahrenheit. It takes that bottle of water 1 hour and 17 minutes to get to that temperature. So you can plug in. What do you want to put in here? You put in, let's just say on the soft drink side. So a soft drink of any sort you put in. It's in a regular can. Temperature, what's the temperature of the, let's make this challenging. The initial temperature of that can of Coke is, it's going to be 104 degrees when we throw it into the, where are we going to put it, the freezer? Okay, we put the can of Coke in the freezer. It's a 104 degree can of Coke. You put it in the freezer, which is right at freezing temp, okay. Desired temperature, where do we want this? Where do we want our Coke? We want it very cold, with 36 degrees Fahrenheit. And the calculator, here we go. And the calculator says 1 hour and 58 minutes. Now, wow. So that's like, I don't know. So there you go. It's called, you can go to omnicalculator.com. I'll put the link up on the Twitter feed, and you can figure out, you can sit and amaze your friends with how long it would take for them to cool their drinks off. Just some science there. Some science, maybe ending the age-old arguments about how long it takes to get something cold or whether you sit there and spin the drink on it. All right, coming back from the break, we're talking about the upcoming Gulf Coast Hunting and Fishing Expo coming to the grounds. We'll talk more about that. It's a two-day event. This is something brand new in our area. Pretty excited. We're going to be out there as well. It's a chance for you to come out and talk to the vendors, see what's going on, learn. There's going to be captains out there. There's going to be how-to information, all that stuff happening out at the grounds, 2 days worth of it for the Gulf Coast Hunting and Fishing Expo. So details coming up on that. Also, Dr. Bill talks more about our forecast. It looks like now, for now, these things can all change, but it looks like now, that the trend is further to the east for this tropical activity that could be getting into the edge of the Gulf by Sunday. More details from Dr. Bill coming up on that. All right, y'all stay close. Coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. And Dan, we'll have to have that conversation. Oh, he's Googling it. That's true. But we can have that conversation. I mentioned salt in your ice and cooling things down more. It's a thing. It's a thing. And actually, there's some pretty interesting science behind why that works. But that's a whole other show we'll do about how to keep the ice in your cooler even colder than ice. Ice cold. That's for sure. All right. I mentioned the Gulf Coast Hunting and Fishing Expo coming to the grounds in just... Josh, time's ticking here. What, to 2 weeks?
It is. I mean, we're almost down to a week, so next weekend.
Yeah, a week from the end of this week. This is something brand new for folks. Not that the grounds is brand new. People know about the grounds, but this event.
This is. With me and you and Mike talked, mm-hmm. About a month ago, talked about it and kind of got into it. This is one of those things that, you know, we're a JC project sitting mm-hmm. around looking. One of our core purposes is to provide entertainment and experiences to the people of Mobile and, you know, the greater Gulf State.
Right.
And we were like, well, what can we do? What's Mobile missing? And, you know, out of nowhere, a couple of people piped up and said, what about an outdoor show? And we kind of just went from there. So this is our first one. It's growing, it's building, and we hope this is a good foundation moving forward.
It's one of those things that when y'all did it, I said, brilliant, but why didn't somebody even think of it first? Y'all were first, but I mean, it's needed. We got a great boat show, and big boat show goes mm-hmm. on in the late winter, early springtime, but there was nothing in the fall, and for a community like ours that does so much stuff outdoors, for us, I mean, because you look around Birmingham, Atlanta, Huntsville, New Orleans, they all had these big shows, and here's Mobile with probably more sportsmen and women per capita than any city in the United States, and we didn't have anything going on.
That's very true. I mean, you can't throw a rock without hitting somebody that hunts and fishes.
Right, and here we didn't have this fall show, so y'all stepped in to do it. Describe to folks what they're going to see when they come out.
Yeah, so, you know, kind of the whole gist of it is it's an outdoor show, and we didn't just want to make it a fishing show. It's not a boat show. It's not just a hunting show. So what we want to do is layer in a lot of different things that you can come and you can really spend multiple hours just hanging out and having something to do. So on top of vendors, we got vendors ranging from people that make rubs for outdoor cooking or mm-hmm. appliances for outdoor cooking to people that are selling fishing rods or, you know, even basically just a myriad of everything. And then on top of that, we're going to have speakers. Looking at the lineup before I left the office, I mean, we're pretty slam full of special speakers talking about everything from turkey calling to, you know, charter fishing to getting into basically anything about outdoors sports and rec. And then on top of that, we're going to have special guests. Matt Bradley from The Deadliest Catch.
That's cool.
And also Bubba Thompson from Faith Cattle Company and the Cowboy Way, Alabama. They're going to be hanging out with us the weekend, too. So kind of hearing some of their experiences. Looking forward to Matt's. That's something that I think we've never really encountered here on the Gulf. Unless you go out in the middle of a hurricane.
But. Right. Somebody that daily is, you know, when they go out for work in the Bering Sea is seeing the seas that we find during hurricanes. This is cool. So the dates, it's 20th, 21st and 22nd.
Yes, 21st and 22nd. So Saturday and Sunday. And $10 on Saturday gets you back coming back for free the next day. And then nice. $5 on Sunday.
Okay. And that might be because there may be one of these, like, speakers on one day you want to hear and
that's
then
right.
catch the other one the other day so you could come back.
Definitely. You can come back. You know, maybe you you see something at the expo on Saturday, you go home, you tell your wife about it, and she maybe allows you to buy that.
Yeah, okay, you go home and you ask, yeah. Right, and see if you can get clearance for said thing that you need. Not what obviously. We need it. We
nothing
need
you this want, thing. Something you need.
We have to have it. There's no way I can go to the woods without this thing. Please, can I go get it? And come back and get it. What about kids?
Oh, kids are welcome. So 12 and under is free.
Okay.
Bring your kids. Or, you know, maybe come by yourself, then bring your kids later.
That's right.
You know, whatever. Go scout out what you want to look at.
You know my style.
But, yeah, more than welcome. It's a family event. Definitely want people to come out, spend some time with us. Right. And, again, this is something that we want to do annually.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our first shot at it, and we're going to grow it from here.
I'm excited about this. And information online?
Yes, information online at gchuntfishexpo.com.
Okay.
You can find us on Facebook, the Gulf Coast Hunting and Fishing Expo, or you can call us out at the grounds at 251-344-4573.
Now, you're packing a lot of stuff in because you've got this new event, and this leads right into the fair.
The fair, the 65th Greater Gulf State Fair.
I mean, they are they are gluttons at the grounds because you got this thing and then right on the heels of that, the fair.
We are. You know, we just went through a strat planning process, kind of came out, and we got a roadmap now. And really one thing that we found out about ourselves is kind of one of those things where you lay on a couch and talk about, yourself, is that we feel that we are that we're an organization, and we appreciate it for the community doing it. But
and people who don't know, this is what the Mobile JCs do. This is the Alabama DC Fishing Rodeo and all that. This is a bunch of volunteers making this happen.
This is unlike the other projects. Obviously we have a facility that we got to rent. So mm-hmm. I am an employee. It's one of seven employees, but we have a 14 member board, a volunteer base of 30 volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that we focus on, and we feel that we're. We keep all those memories. We steward those memories that people come out to the grounds, whether at the fair or the chocolate festival or mm-hmm. the hunting and fishing expo. We steward those memories, and we take a lot of pride in that. So we definitely want to continue to bring things to the area that people can come. And, some of the greatest memories I have are going with my family to the fair or going with my dad to pick up an Arbor Day tree at the grounds back in the day. So, we definitely want to keep making that and building that up for the people of our community.
And y'all got a heck of a space out there.
We appreciate it. Yeah, we just bought 64 acres. We had a new entrance on Howells Ferry.
So you and I were, or somebody was talking to me about that. So, where? Explain that.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do with it. But
bigger spot.
Yeah, build it even bigger. But we got a plan. We'll be rolling that out here in the next year. But we had an opportunity to buy it. It was a very the Swada family owned it for years and years. Bill Finch talks about mm-hmm. them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the opportunity to buy it. And we put a new entrance in for the fair over there, made it real nice. Put a sign up.
So it is off of Ziegler, or is it?
It's off of Howells Ferry. So
okay.
If you're coming off of Schillinger, hang a right on Howells Ferry, or hang a left on Howells mm-hmm. Ferry. It's right past the county work site, work camp. So
okay,
we're right there. But we're only going to use that during the fair, so it's not a common entrance. But
okay, but you have that to accommodate the people. Anything a little advanced look at the fair you can give us?
Yeah, so we're sneak preview.
I know we're talking first, and the Gulf Coast Hunting and Fishing Expo is going to come first. But I'm kind of looking.
Yeah,
at the fair.
I mean, we got a lot. We just announced that we're hosting a pancake breakfast that's going to be the Saturday before the fair.
Okay.
It'll be benefiting Ronald McDonald House.
Great charity.
And we're going to race babies that day.
Do what?
We're going to race babies.
Okay, wait a minute, Josh. What?
Listen, when you come
to the
fair,
put them in their lanes and away they go?
Well, I mean, we're gonna time them first at the breakfast, and we're gonna take the top 30.
Qualifying.
Yeah, we're gonna qualify them at the breakfast.
Nice,
Sean.
Nice.
And we're gonna take the fastest 30 babies from that Saturday, bring them back on the first Saturday of the fair.
Yeah.
Then we're gonna race them, and then we're gonna have the finals the last Saturday.
You sure this is legal? Is this legal in Alabama to race babies?
We're going to have to look into it, but we're not betting on them. We're just racing them.
Well, I mean, you speak for yourself. You have a lead baby there that I might want to put some money on.
Yeah.
So that's pancake breakfast
the
week before.
Pancake breakfast the week before the fair, October 19th. Then we're going to lead into the fair. We open on Friday, the 25th, and we've jam-packed the fair. I mean, there's entertainment for everybody. Our rodeo arena is in use for 8 out of the 10 days.
Great.
That's the first time we've had that. bringing in Premier Bull Riding Tour for our rodeo, and then also we've got the Equestrian Center, Salisa's Equestrian Center coming in. We've got Lanco on the second weekend. We've got Marshall Tucker Band the first weekend.
Oh, wow.
We have all kinds of things. We're really excited about it.
It is busy. And I want to just take 1 second here, because we were promoting all the great things that We the People Come Do that y'all put on. But I talk about this during the rodeo, and I'll talk about it right now. Y'all are a charity group, and you are giving back to the community in so many ways, whether it's, you know, from the science end, and things are done through the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo and donations to the Sea Lab, to what y'all do for kids around Christmas. I mean, it's awesome.
We appreciate that. Yeah, we, you know, each of the projects has their own respective lane. You know, we don't know how to run a fishing rodeo. Some of my board members kind of share, but for the most part, we don't know about Isaiah Trail Maids.
Right.
But we, you know, where we come together, we do a lot of things, you know, whether that's, you know, our stone soup project that we all do together in Christmas, or whether that's the Christmas toy shopping tour that
I
we
love
do.
That.
And then, you know, just one way we're doing now, especially with the fair this year, one thing we're doing is we're our theme this year is board games. It's all fun and games at the fair. So this year we're collecting, from now until October 15th, collecting new board games at various JC's businesses around the city.
What are y'all going to do with those?
We're going to load them up after the fair. We're going to take them to USA Women and Children's emergency room, because, you know, a wonderful place, but a lot of times that's the worst day of people's life.
Sure it is.
Or one of them. So we want to try to keep them busy while they're waiting and doing what they need to do there.
So y'all need just regular. So if we're at the store shopping for whatever.
Yeah.
If we see
new board games, Candyland, Monopoly, whatever. Just bring them. Chutes and Ladders. You can go to our website or our Facebook page, Greater Upstate Fair.
And tell us where to drop these off.
Tell them where to drop it off. Thanks to a lot of the JCs that are involved with us. They're allowing their businesses to be used as drop-off points.
Excellent.
And for every game that you bring, you get a free child's ticket to come to the fair. So
this
we're excited.
Awesome. I expect y'all to be loaded up with board games.
I hope so. We're going to display them as you walk in the fair, so hopefully we'll have a lot to display.
Good deal. All right. So as we go chronologically, the first thing coming up, that is the Gulf Coast Hunting and Fishing Expo, and it, once again, is Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday, the 21st and 22nd.
All right.
One thing we didn't mention, too, is that we've teamed up with Ultimate Outdoors Experience. All right, Ultimate Experience Outdoors. It's a group that we're going to fundraise for during the expo. They take veterans, Gold Star families. They take them hunting and fishing. So it's a good opportunity to come out and also make a difference while we're...
So can we donate there?
You can. Yeah, donate there. We're also going to have a raffle for high price items, bows.
When does that go on?
All during the expo.
So. All right. Well, good deal. Josh, as always, thank you. And we'll be seeing you out there. We're going to be heading out there with the radio show coming that weekend.
Looking forward to hanging out with you. Thanks for having us today.
Hey, always a pleasure. Coming right back. Wrapping it up here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, we'll be doing a special live on location FM Talk 106.5 outdoors on the 21st out at the grounds for that Gulf Coast Hunting and Fishing Expo. So cool stuff is coming up. Hopefully you can come by and visit with us in person. So tonight, Democrats debating in Houston. You gonna watch? Do you care? Do you watch it as a? You watch it because you're trying to figure out who to vote for. You watching it because you're trying to figure out who's going to run against President Trump. Yes, there are some Republicans running in the primary against President Trump. But come on, okay. So are you going to be watching that tonight? Third Democratic debate tonight. We'll have, as I said over at Yahoo.com, we'll have a different chemistry than the two before. Oh, well, chemistry. Fewer elements, but a potentially more volatile mix. The event in Houston will be the first time the top 10 candidates will appear on the same debate stage. The virtue of his big national polling lead, Joe Biden will take center stage, flanked by Elizabeth Warren to his left and Bernie Sanders to his right. Couldn't everybody just be to his left? You put him at the farther and then... So Elizabeth Warren to the left, Bernie Sanders to the right. This will be the first time Biden and Warren have appeared together in a debate. Ooh, and sparks will fly. And the context changed the last 6 weeks since the Democrat debate in Detroit. Two major mass shootings, a televised town hall on climate change, which I think that really got off the subject, too. Did you watch any of that? And more hints of a recession on the horizon. Remember, Dalton, what we saw in the news accounts? Let me stop for a second here. There are more stories out there about hints of a recession. Now, I've been looking at this for a while, looking at it just based on market numbers, okay? And there are some things that you could say could point towards a recession. We had the bond inversion, these kind of things. But at the same time, they surveyed a bunch of economists. This came out about a month ago when they first started running these stories. And I think it was like 33% of the economists surveyed thought a recession could happen within the next 2 years. That means 67% didn't think a recession would come within the next 2 years. I mean, I'm interested in the sad science of economy, right? And knowing what's coming up. But when you report a headline, recession could be coming, and then the story is that 33% of economists say it could be coming and the others don't. You got to... Just make sure when you read all these stories, don't, you know, I get frustrated. People say, I don't read or listen to that news from that. Yeah, you're doing yourself a disservice. You should listen to all and read all and do that with some critical thinking. So when you see something that says more hints of a recession on the horizon, understand that while many people think that could happen, there's a whole bunch of people who think it won't happen. First two rounds of the debates featured 20 candidates over 2 nights with 2 hours each night. The third will be more of an endurance test tonight. 10 candidates debating for 3 hours. Texas Southern University will be the location. Going to be broadcast on ABC stations and in Espanol on the Univision Network from 8 to 11 Eastern time. If you don't know how to convert that, would be 7 to 10 our time. In campaign appearances through the aides and through aides, many of the candidates have already telegraphed their strategies. So here's what you're supposed to expect. Biden expecting to defend the record of the Obama administration, which is he's rebranded the Obama-Biden administration, against charges from the rest of the field that he wasn't liberal enough on immigration, defense, and health insurance. He'll try to steer the debate towards one of his strong suits, foreign policy, and he'll run on his resume. With the exception of Sanders, no one on the debate stage can match his tenure in elected office. They said Biden aides signaled a possible line of attack against Warren, that the former vice president plans to call on all the candidates to be transparent about their past business dealings. Oh. Well, obvious target of the attack is President Donald Trump. It also could apply to Warren, who advised corporations on bankruptcy issues before she became known as a champion of consumer protections after the 2008 financial crisis. Warren says her strategy remains the same as ever, lay out detailed policy plans while making every issue an argument for bigger structural change in American politics. And with polls showing her gaining ground on Biden, she sees no need to alter that message. Sanders, they say, has honed his Democrat-Socialist message over 3 decades. It hadn't changed much as a candidate for president. An advisor for Sanders, Jeff Weaver, said he doesn't expect the Vermont senator tonight to pick fights, especially with Warren, a senator from neighboring Massachusetts, with whom he's had an informal non-aggression pact through the first two rounds of the debate. Kamala Harris, of course, remember landing that blow on Biden in the first debate when she challenged his record on busing and school segregation. They say tonight, the press secretary, Ian Sands, says Kamala will take on Donald Trump directly. She'll make a connection between his hatred and division and the inability to get things done for the country. And old Buttigieg, they said they expect him to be more aggressive in drawing contrast with the other candidates, but without losing his cool. All right. So that's tonight, starting at 7 o'clock, 7 to 10, on ABC stations and on Univision. All right. I'm out of here. Y'all have a great one. See ya mañana.